sweet place to be. That place where you come to realize that you can't even walk without the Lord holding your hand. Amen. To be that dependent upon the Lord and to know it. And to know it so. That's the place to be. All right, turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 23. The title of the message this morning is The Lord of the Sabbath. And we're going to see another occasion of controversy that the Lord is drawn into with the religious leaders of the day, particularly the Pharisees. We've seen these religious leaders already outraged because Jesus claimed the power to forgive sins, which basically meant he was claiming to be God. They were appalled that he would dine with known sinners. They had refused to acknowledge the healing of a paralyzed man or to rejoice over sinners being saved. All because in their minds they thought that Jesus did not conform to their religion. And we look at the fourth of five controversies this morning that you find from the beginning of chapter 2 into the first part of chapter 3. And this controversy happens when the Pharisees accuse Jesus and his followers of violating the Sabbath. Now, I taught the Sunday school class that meets in here this morning, and I'm going to be teaching that class for a few weeks, for a while. And the Sunday school lesson this morning is the same thing as the sermon this morning and next Sunday's sermon, kind of all combined into one lesson. But as I told them, there is plenty here for us to see and to understand. A little bit of repetition probably for those who were in the class. But still, there are some good things to be found in this passage of Scripture. And I think we should listen carefully. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 23, "And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was a hunger, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Let us pray. Our kind and most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are humbled to be in your presence here this morning. And, O Lord, we seek your Holy Spirit to teach us from your word. Help us to understand indeed that you, O Lord, are Lord of the Sabbath. And help us to understand what that means and how that should be applied to us and to our lives. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the spiritual life that you give to your people. Lord, just help us to see and learn here this morning. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Now, as we look at the first two verses, rather, there, I want us to see, first of all, that we should not be slaves to man-made rules. Now, verses 23 and 24, we read this, and it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. So what is going on here, Jesus is traveling. he and his disciples from place to place on the Sabbath day. Now, when you look at Matthew's account, which is what we studied in the Sunday school lesson here this morning, you might understand that he was having to travel a distance to get to a synagogue for worship that day, because that's where he goes. And Mark accounts that as well. We'll just get into that next time, next Lord's Day. So he's traveling on the Sabbath day. Now, the Pharisees in particular had established a long set of rules to follow so that one might keep the law. In essence, what they had done was added to the law their own teachings. And they really put a lot of restrictions on the law that weren't there and weren't intended to be there by God when he gave the law. So these are man-made laws. And man-made laws, by nature, elevate man. Always. That's their purpose. They're born out of pride and self-righteousness, and their purpose is to make one look better than they really are. So these Pharisees had decided, well, if we're going to keep the law, then we need to break this thing down into things that we can measure so that we can show people we're keeping the law. Now, their intentions of keeping the law weren't to please God. They were to put themselves in a position where they might brag and boast and be self-righteous. And so all these things that they had added were outside of the law and were wrong. And what they effectively did was make slaves out of people. People, if they were to follow after the Pharisees' way of thinking, had to take upon themselves these unnecessary extra burdens of rules that they must keep. So they're slaves. Now the Jews had some particular laws concerning the Sabbath day. I've seen multiple authors who refer to them, these laws, as being a fence. One says a wall that was built around the Sabbath day, so that they could keep it holy. Again, unnecessary and extra and wrong, as Jesus points out. But that's what's coming into play here. You see, Jesus and his disciples had the audacity to be traveling somewhere from one place to another on the Sabbath day. And according to the Pharisees, if you took more than 1,999 steps or paces on the Sabbath day, then that constituted working and put you in violation of the Sabbath. So they literally would measure their steps and be careful not to walk more than that. Well, I think it's pretty obvious that Jesus is doing more than that as they're traveling here, as they go through this cornfield. But that's not the issue that the Pharisees jump on and question him about. You know why? We talked about this in the Sunday school class. Because they were right there with him to confront him about it, which meant they had taken those same steps. So they weren't going to get on to him about that. They probably excused their own, saying it was necessary for them to keep an eye on this malefactor that they thought Jesus was, this false teacher in their eyes. But so they weren't going to dwell on that, though. They were going to make an issue of that. I promise you, they counted every step. They counted every step Jesus and his disciples took. I just believe that, because that's the kind of people they were. But that's not what they get on to Jesus about. Now, what has happened here, Jesus and his disciples are going through the field, and they're hungry. Don't know when they had eaten last. You know, they didn't have a whole lot. And they just kind of went from place to place. And they were dependent sometimes on people out of their kindness, you know, giving them some food. They're hungry. And they're walking through this field. Now, as we discussed in the Sunday school class, this isn't a cornfield as we think of a cornfield. This isn't corn like corn on the cob or cream corn or whatever, however you sweet corn, however you eat your corn. It wasn't that kind of thing. The word corn is given or is used to refer to whatever grain crop is dominant in a certain region. And for us, that has become what we call corn on the cob or whatever. But for them, they didn't even have that kind of grain at all. What they had were things like wheat and barley and rye. But they head up too. Now, a cob of corn looks a lot different than the head of wheat and what have you, but there are some similarities. And basically what these disciples are doing is they're going through this field. They are breaking off the heads of grain, probably rustling them in their hands and then picking out the grain part that they could eat and eating it, just eating it like that, not cooking it or anything, just eating it like that because they're hungry. But to the Pharisees, that very action of taking that is the same thing to them as harvesting the whole field. That's how they perceive it. Now, the Bible does say that during times of harvest, you weren't supposed to do harvesting in a field. But that was talking about, you know, the whole crop. It wasn't talking about just getting something to eat. But that's what the Pharisees jump on. Verse 24, and the Pharisees said unto him, "Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day, that which is not lawful?" Now what they're doing is pointing to the disciples, and they're holding Jesus responsible for the actions of the disciples. Now, the Sabbath day that the Jews observed started at sunset on Friday and went to sunset on Saturday. And this day had been established by God, first with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when God created for 6 days and then established the seventh day as a day of rest. Okay? And God put that into place as a blessing to the people that he had created, Adam and Eve and all their descendants. It is further reinforced by being the fourth of the Ten Commandments, where we are instructed to honor the Sabbath day and with our family, and we are to rest on that day and worship on that day. The general idea that evolved out of all this was that one should do no work on the Sabbath day unless it was absolutely necessary. And so the Pharisees had jumped on this and built up all these extra rules. So the disciples break off a few heads of grain. Not in any way could that be construed as harvesting, but these Pharisees looked at it that way. And they are very concerned, quote unquote, that Jesus is allowing his disciples to break their rules. And they're holding Jesus accountable. Now their purpose is to discredit Jesus himself. He was becoming known as a great teacher among the people, and the Pharisees were very jealous of that, even threatened by that. And so what they're thinking is, if we can discredit Jesus, prove that he's not such a great teacher because his own followers don't obey the law, then they can knock Jesus down and he will no longer be a threat to them. Now let us note that the Pharisees are far more concerned about the outward appearance and not the inward condition of the heart. Their self-righteous godliness was made up of washings. They had to wash so much, so often before meals, all this. Washings, fastings. We've already seen an example of that where they had accused Jesus and his followers of not fasting like they did. They fasted 2 days a week. They were really super religious. They wore peculiar clothes, a certain kind of garment with tassels on it and all kind. You can get on to all the details of that. They wanted to stand out as being who they were. Again, the outward appearance. They were also very much will worshipers. In other words, they were the original, if you will, Arminians, because they elevated man's free will to a point above which it should be. And that constituted their religion. There was not much place in their religion for repentance or faith or true holiness. And so they look at Jesus. They're trying to shine the light of responsibility on him to prove that he wasn't all that he said he was. And in their minds, it would have been far better had Jesus and his disciples gone hungry and not break one of their rules. We shouldn't be slaves to man-made rules. There are Pharisees, at least those who act like Pharisees, today. People who are more concerned about all these little rules that everybody has to do. Certain things everybody has to do in order to be, quote unquote, religious. Their focus is always on outward things and outward appearance, and has little to do with what's going on within a person's heart. They are quick to condemn, and they are quick to publicly condemn. And we really should be slow to both. We really should be more concerned about what's going on inside a person's heart. So those Pharisees exist today, and we don't need to become slaves to the rules. And let's see what's better. Let's move on. The second point. We need to remember that the Lord's Day is a blessing and not a burden. Look at the next few verses, verse 25, 26, 27. And he said unto them, have ye never read what David did when he had need and was an hungered, he and they that were with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him? Now that's our Lord's reply to the Pharisees. He points them back into the Old Testament to King David and an incident in King David's life. Now these Jews really held King David up on a high pedestal. They had a great deal of respect for him and should have, as we should have, a great deal of respect for King David. After all, the scriptures say he was a man after God's own heart. That says a lot. And so we ought to respect David in his life. But we understand that David wasn't perfect and shouldn't elevate him to any kind of thing like that. But the Jews certainly held a high respect for him. So Jesus turns their attention to David and something that he had did one time. Now let's read it. It's Mark refers to it. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, the king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now, therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present. So what David has done is stopped by the tabernacle, and he's talking to the priest, and he's simply asking him for some bread, just regular bread to eat. Verse 4, and the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now what this showbread was, it was considered holy. It was, as I understand it, there would be 12 loaves baked, one for each of the tribes, and they would basically be on display on a table there inside the tabernacle. And the purpose was to ultimately point to Jesus. Everything in the tabernacle was meant to point to Jesus, but it was not to be eaten by anybody. It wasn't for that purpose. It was only for the priest to eat. They would eat it and then replace it with 12 fresh loaves. But nobody else could eat it. And David says, well, let me eat that. And the priest, if you note, agreed and allowed them to eat of it. And nowhere in Scripture do you find any condemnation of what Jesus did there, or David did there that day. And the whole point of it is that God shows mercy to his people. They were hungry. There was no, and I believe they were truly hungry and had no way of getting any kind of food at that present time. And out of mercy, and this priest responded in mercy, gave them this bread. And so the point Jesus is making is that it was merciful for that to happen. Now, it wasn't normal or lawful, but on this occasion, the mercy of God permitted it. Jesus basically now then is comparing himself to David. And he will do this on occasion in the scriptures. And then Jesus pronounces a principle which should have been guiding them anyway. And we find that in the next verse there, verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. It is for the enjoyment and rest and peace of man. It's not meant to burden us down with all kinds of rules and regulations. It was an act of mercy on God's part, because he knew people would work and that they would need a day of rest. So he made it part of everyday living, part of culture. You rest on that seventh day, that Sabbath day. That's what it's for. It's a time to worship, certainly. It's a time to rest, though, from your labors and have peace. And that's how we should look at the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Man wasn't made for the Sabbath. God didn't put the Sabbath, in fact, he established the Sabbath after he created man anyway, but he didn't create man to worship the Sabbath and be bound to it. He created and be a burden to man. He created it to be a blessing to his people. And that's how we should perceive the Sabbath. Now, I touched on this in the Sunday school lesson this morning. The way the Pharisees approach it is the same way that some people approach worshiping on Sunday. They wake up on Sunday morning and it's like, oh man, I got to go to church. I'm bound to go to church. If I don't, somebody's going to say something. So I better go. I'm tired. I'd really just rather stay here, but I guess I'll go on anyway. And what you do when you do that is you turn it into some great big sacrifice that you're making to go to church. As I told the Sunday school class, that's not pleasing to God. couple things about that. One, first question I'm going to ask is, how late were you up on Saturday night, and what were you doing on Saturday night? You ought to begin your Sabbath worship, I think, the Saturday night before, if you can, by being restful, going to bed early enough to get a good night's rest, and preparing yourself in that way for the Sabbath day. And when you wake up on Sunday morning, you ought not be thinking, and listen, we've all thought this, okay? I've been there. Oh, man, I got to get up. I got to preach. Oh, man. I'm guilty. But we ought not be thinking that way. When we wake up on Sunday morning, our thoughts ought to be turning to God. And we ought to be responding to a desire in our heart to go and worship God. To go and learn about God. To go and fellowship with God's people. And that ought to be something we want to do, that we're happy and glad to do. The other way is to go the way of the Pharisee. Is to turn it into something burdensome and some sort of work. The way I'm talking about is the way of blessing. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord with God's people to worship God. It ought to be the highlight of our week. Anytime we can be in the Lord's house, Sunday night, Sunday night attendance hasn't been what it ought to be. Wednesday night, that's another time to be in the house of the Lord, to worship God and to be with God's people. And there ought to be a desire to do that. You see, today, this day, is created for us to find rest in the Lord. The best way to rest in the Lord is to draw up just as close as you can to Him. And that's all the way we ought to look at this. We ought to be coming here to draw up close to the Lord and worship Him. It ought to be a matter of the heart. That spiritual heart we're given with our spiritual life, where it is turned to God. We ought to be so excited to be in the Lord's house to worship God that we're here early and not late. We've become a little lax on that of late, too. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17 speaks to this a little bit. It says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." In other words, don't let people put burdens on you about all these things, including the Sabbath day. It should be a day of freedom and of liberty, mostly of rest and worship of God. And that's what we ought to devote our attention to. The third and last point for this morning is, we must anchor ourselves to Jesus as our guide and the final word on what we do. Verse 28. And boy, this really riled up these Pharisees. "Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." First of all, this is another declaration of our Lord's deity. Demons know that He's the Lord God. But these self-righteous Pharisees don't. Do you? Do you know Jesus as the Lord God? Really? I mean, truly? Do you know it because you know you've been quickened by His power, given spiritual life? Do you know it because you've made a profession of faith in the Lord? Do you know it because you followed His example and been baptized? Do you know it because you follow Jesus? He's our guide. He's our final word. Not those words of man. Jesus, you see, is telling these Pharisees that they don't get to make the rules about the Sabbath. They don't get to be the lords over the Sabbath. The Sabbath belongs to Jesus because He's the one who made it. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And what has happened here is these Pharisees are so concerned over their rules and their traditions and all this that they have missed the lawgiver Himself. They don't see Jesus as the one who actually gave them the law. They prefer their man-made rules and traditions over what Jesus is preaching and teaching. Don't go the way of the Pharisees. That'll lead to misery and suffering. Let's follow Jesus. Let's go where He leads. Brother Sean in his devotional yesterday, and he mentioned earlier in the song service, he's talking about how when everything's bad, when everything's going against us, when people are especially against us because we follow Christ, let's believe the Word of God and make that our guide. That's why we were given it. Therefore, we must follow it. And when we do, we will be blessed. God will bless us. When we observe the Sabbath day as we ought to, then we will find it a day of blessing and not a burden. Is the Lord's day a burden to you? Then that speaks something about where your heart is. We've talked much about a needed revival in this place among our people. Maybe it starts with that. Understanding the Lord's day and what it was given to us for. Reflect on that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, O Lord, we come to You now just so thankful for this Lord's Day You have given us. And I pray indeed it is a day of rest and peace and worship and drawing close to You. And for those who it may be a burden to, I pray, O Lord, that You would open their eyes and their hearts to see what You have given it to be for. And that You would draw them close to Yourself in Your mercy and in forgiveness. Lord, I just pray Your blessing upon each person who's present here this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'll stand. What number shall we sing?